Cognitive behavior therapy is based on the idea that depression, anxiety, and anger result from distorted negative thoughts in the here and now. Once you've pinpointed your self-defeating beliefs, SDBs, you'll know exactly why you get upset and when you're likely to get upset in the future. There are two basic types of SDBs: individual SDBs and interpersonal SDBs. Individual SDBs are usually self-esteem equations that tell you what you need to be or do in order to be a worthwhile human being. The basic formula is, I need X in order to feel happy and fulfilled. X could be perfection, achievement, love, or approval. Here are some examples of individual self-defeating beliefs. Perfectionism. You believe you should always try to be perfect. Whenever you fail or fall short of a goal, you beat up on yourself relentlessly and tell yourself that you're not as good as you should be. Perceived perfectionism. You think you have to impress everyone with your talent or accomplishments to get them to like or accept you. Achievement addiction. You base your self-esteem on your intelligence, talent, accomplishments, or productivity. Approval addiction. You think you need everyone's approval in order to be worthwhile. You get defensive and feel threatened whenever anyone criticizes you or disapproves of you. Interpersonal self-defeating beliefs lead to conflicts with other people. Usually, they're expectations about what happens in close, intimate relationships. They shape our understanding of what we have to do to be loved and respected, and how other people will treat us. Here are a few examples. Blame. You believe that you're innocent, and the person you're not getting along with is to blame for the problems in your relationship. Truth. You feel convinced that you're right and the other person is wrong. Entitlement. You believe that people should think, feel, and behave the way you expect them to. When they don't, you get angry and frustrated. Love addiction. You believe that the only true happiness comes from being loved by someone you care about. You think you'll be doomed to feelings of emptiness and worthlessness if you're ever rejected or alone. Submissiveness. You believe that you have to meet everyone else's needs and expectations, even if you make yourself miserable in the process. Love becomes a form of slavery, because you feel that you always have to give, give, give in order to be loved. Perceived narcissism. You believe that people who care about you will be self-centered, exploitative, and fragile. You feel that you can never be open and spontaneous or tell them how you really feel inside because they'll fly off the handle and reject you. Conflict phobia. You believe that anger, conflict, and disagreements with other people are dangerous and should be avoided at all costs. Identifying your self-defeating beliefs is more than just an exercise in self-awareness. When you modify these beliefs, you'll be far less vulnerable to painful mood swings in the future. You'll enjoy greater creativity, productivity, joy, and intimacy. You can pinpoint your own SDBs with the downward arrow technique. Select a negative thought from your daily mood log and draw a downward arrow underneath it. The arrow is a form of shorthand for questions like these. If this thought were true, why would it be upsetting to me? What would it mean to me? When you ask yourself these questions, a new negative thought will pop into your mind. Write it down directly under the arrow, and draw another arrow underneath it. Ask yourself the same kinds of questions again. If you repeat this process several times, you'll generate a chain of negative thoughts. When you review these thoughts, you can easily pinpoint your self-defeating beliefs. I'll show you how it works. A young man named Rashid was studying to be a pilot and was anxious about his upcoming Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, examination. Even though Rashid was at the top of his class, he constantly felt nervous and tense because he was asking himself, "What if I flunk the test?" And he in fact put, "I might flunk the test," on his daily mood log. I asked Rashid to put a downward arrow directly underneath this thought and said, "Rashid, we know you're a top student, so you'll probably do very well on the test. But let's assume the opposite. Let's imagine that you really did flunk the FAA test 6 months from now. What would that mean to you? Why would it be upsetting?" He said, "Then I'd look bad in front of my buddies." I told him to write this down under the arrow and put another arrow underneath it. Then I asked, "And then what? Let's suppose that you flunked the test and look bad in front of your buddies. What would that mean to you? Why would that be upsetting to you?" He said, "Then they'll lose respect for me." I told him to write that down and put another arrow underneath it. We repeated this process several more times and eventually ended up with the thought, "That would mean I was worthless." Here are the SDBs Rashid and I came up with. Perfectionism. Perceived perfectionism. Approval addiction. Achievement addiction. Spotlight fallacy. Brush fire fallacy. These beliefs are extremely common in people who suffer from performance anxiety. Rashid's worrying did not result from the fact that he had to take the test, but from the way he was thinking about it. He seems to base his self-esteem on his achievements and on getting everyone's approval. He's very perfectionistic and assumes that his classmates will be just as judgmental and critical as he is. He feels as if he's performing under a bright spotlight, having to impress his friends to get them to like him. He also thinks that if one of them looks down on him, they all will. Of course, these attitudes put him under tremendous pressure. I suggested that he might ask several of his friends if they'd be disappointed in him if he flunked the test and had to take it again. He learned that they were worrying about the test as much as he was, and were relieved to discover that he felt the same way, since he always seemed so confident. Ultimately, Rashid passed his test with flying colors on his first try. The downward arrow technique is easy to learn and can quickly provide you with a wealth of valuable information about your own attitudes and beliefs. Always start with a negative thought on your daily mood log. It doesn't make any difference what thought you choose, so select one that's interesting to you. Draw a downward arrow under it and ask yourself, "If that were true, what would it mean to me? Why would it be upsetting to me?" A new thought will pop into your head, and you can jot it down under the arrow. If you repeat this process several times, eventually you'll come to the bottom of the barrel. This exercise will help you understand why you're vulnerable to the kinds of mood problems that have been bothering you.